Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's about...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Name one thing guys want to see more than anything in the whole wide world.
We're going to go with boobs.
Yeah!
Show me boobs. There they are. Good job.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Here, kitty, kitty.
This is nuts. Just weighing in over here. This is bonkers.
And now.
I want you both to listen to me, okay? I know why you're here. So don't BS a BSer, okay? Your presence here, court ordered.
Why did you put presence in quotes? You implying that we're not here?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday morning, the 20th of November. How come I can't hear anything? What's happening?
You've obviously got bad headphones if you can't hear anything.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, you need to turn them up?
On the sound? Like the volume?
No.
It was you it, had to turn them up.
I mean, it did look like with your hand you just turned it up.
No.
Okay.
I had to push it in a little.
Ew.
Just
okay, here's the thing. That whole intro was about a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That whole time you were struggling, looking around at us like, I can't figure it out. You're making mugs, try and figure it out.
I was just saying, did it sound good to him?
Your first thought wasn't to check and see if your mic or your earphones were plugged in or turned up?
I mean, technically, no, but...
Okay, all right.
That doesn't happen very often.
Right.
So...
You're right.
It's all good?
Yeah,
this will all come together.
Anything.
It'll come together in year 31.
Okay, good.
Wow.
Good. Yeah, I was very surprised by that.
Yeah.
I barely hear anything. And then I thought, well, when I start talking, of course, I'll hear it because there's something wrong with that audio file.
Sure.
Yes.
So that didn't work.
Oh, I'm with you.
I like, though, that you looked at me at one point and you said, is it okay? And I went, yeah. And then Muggs looked at me and mouthed, it's fine.
Thanks for the help, Muggs.
Come on, Kev. Anytime.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
All right, listen, it's barely raining.
Yeah.
It's just a light drizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More of a mist.
Yeah.
Than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to get a little bit worse, though, but I thought we would have King of Mexico come in and join us.
Hey.
Who is, he's a genius. He's a scientific genius.
Yeah.
I am the smartest man in the world when it comes to rain.
Right.
This is not true. Is this about his windshield again?
Yes, we've talked about this before.
This isn't smart.
But I think it's been a while.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it was a good time to bring in Dave.
Uh-huh. And put everyone's life in jeopardy when he tells you to do it as well.
Oh, no. Everyone will recognize it as stupidity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no one will do it.
What exactly is this with your windshield wipers?
I'm just saying, when you're on the freeway and you have a nice speed, there's no need for them. They're it's a waste of time and a waste of, it just dirties up your windshield wipers even more.
First of all, in LA, there is never a nice speed on a freeway.
Which is
and
a point.
B, good
point.
There's never a nice speed on a freeway if it's raining.
If you're cruising down Olympic Boulevard at a good 40, you're fine.
So you're saying that the rain just goes right
just
past
just right
you.
Off. The way the windshields work, just right off.
No matter how hard it's raining.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the inertia of you moving pulls it off of the window and flies behind you is what you're saying.
See, and Jensen gets it.
But no.
Oh, no, that's his interpreting.
I went... forward with that thought thinking I have a head injury. So that was how I got into roll.
And it's because you use a product like Rain-X or something on your windshield, correct?
Sure. You could do that too, but
You've never used the product.
Yeah, I love how Dave said he's concerned about it dirtying up his windshield even more when he never gets his car washed and he never changed the dealer plates off his car when he bought the thing.
He's very particular.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've tried it many times. I'm just like, Dave can't be this stupid.
Why would you try it more than once?
because I thought Dave can't be this stupid.
Yes, he can.
Here lies so, Kevin Ryder. He tried a Dave idea.
So
more than once.
Going like 50, 55, 60, you turn off your windshield wipers and you can't see S.
No, it goes right off.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
It does.
That's just 100%
and I have video proof.
Okay, so let's say it goes right off. When it's hitting the window, like when it's just you can't see through when it's sort of smashing up against it.
It goes right, literally, you're driving and it hits it and it goes immediately up. It goes zoop, right up.
Zoop, huh?
Zoop. That's the sound it makes. It goes zoop, zoop.
I'm telling you guys, it's Rome. It's Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's Rome.
It is shocking how many times.
Yeah, and Kevin, what are the Kevin and Bean rules for driving in the rain?
Oh, well, the first one was you need to hurry up.
Yeah.
So you're on the road for less time.
Okay. See?
Incorrect.
Yeah.
We're giving bad info.
So is this what you're doing then?
That's part of it, yeah.
We were doing that to be funny. Uh-huh. I feel like you're doing this for real.
No, I do it for reals. And then when using that theory, it helps.
Is there any time in like cats and dogs raining? Like, is there any time that you actually do it? Like, there's too much rain for my dumb theory to work?
It's when I stop at a stoplight and all the rain just piles up on your windshield.
As long
and
as
then
he's
you
moving.
Swipe it off and then continue going.
Moving, right.
Yeah.
As long as he's moving. Yeah. Which
zoop.
Is
zoop.
Zoop. Uh-huh. That's the rain coming off your windshield.
Right.
Zoop, zoop.
Zoop.
Yeah.
Why is your car the only one that does that? Have you ever wondered that?
It's not. It's just that people don't, you know, listen.
No, I've done it. I've done it.
Have you seen the movie about the windshield wipers?
Oh, yeah. Windshield wipers.
Oh,
yeah.
Scorsese, I think.
Yeah. It's with, damn it, who's that guy? Anyways, it's the dude who got ripped off with the windshield wipers. It's an unnecessary part.
What movie is this?
Someone knows. They know what I'm talking about.
The windshield wipers movie?
The windshield wiper movie.
Someone
watch.
Knows. Someone knows.
What is it? Is it a Pixar movie about a talking windshield wiper?
It was a big movie. It was a big movie about the guy who got ripped off with the windshield wipers. But the cars were initially not.
You mean the guy that came up with them, created them.
And then
got stolen. Okay.
Yeah. So, again, cars were not created with windshield wipers. You know why? Because they're not needed.
I've never seen the film, but I just want to give Dave credit. The movie's called Flash of Genius, which is coincidental because he has none of that.
Dave, cars weren't created with seatbelts originally either.
Amen.
I'm not going to say we don't need those either. But
honestly, feel free not to say that.
I am not
feel
saying that
not
because
to wear one
that
one,
is not
yeah, you should
a thing.
Not, in the rain, you shouldn't wear one, Dave. You shouldn't wear it. Do your windshield idea and the seatbelts.
Look, I'm just saying, try it.
Yeah, my windows aren't even down on the side. Water doesn't come in.
Dave, why do we even need brakes, dude? Who cares?
Like, right? Well, you got to stop somehow.
Well, I mean, there's always a wall.
When you're spinning out, you have to somehow get control over it.
This hurts my brain.
Well, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it literally is 100% not true.
False. Correct.
Yeah. You know what's worse than the rain on going like zoop off your car?
You on the radio?
The windshield wipers going back and forth, especially the slow ones. Oh, they're so annoying.
You can change the timer.
You can't change that. Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can speed them up.
So what's the point of like, the rain is all falling and then went zoop, zoop. And that's it. That's
when
annoying.
It's barely raining.
Yeah, that's annoying.
But I just want to clarify, you're being funny.
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
He's such a douche.
Yeah.
I think it's unsafe. I want to go on
it's
record.
It's 100%
unsafe. I don't
want
to be an accomplice to these people's deaths.
When I say I tried it a couple times, you try it for 3 seconds.
And you're like, uh-oh.
And you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Right. Look, turn it back on. He's crazy.
If it decides to rain, I'll do it again today.
Oh, God.
I'd also like to point out when he was talking about the movie Wipey, he said it's not even a big part of the movie. It's about the guy who created the windshield wiper.
What? No, I said it wasn't a part of the car.
No, but as you were explaining, you're like, it wasn't even a big part of the movie.
I think the part of the movie
not the point,
I think the part of the movie that you were discussing is it's the guy that created it that got ripped off, not the actual motion of.
Yeah, what I was saying is that the cars didn't even need them.
Right.
That it's just a part that's to sell you on
there was no rain back then, Dave. Everyone knows that.
That's true. It just started. Yeah.
Even the buggies didn't need them. They go slow.
Buggies.
Okay. The buggies.
Dave, were you in debate in high school?
I was not. No.
Okay. No. I am shocked.
I was wondering how far you have to go to cite buggies in your argument.
The Flintstones didn't need them.
Yeah. They sure did not. They didn't even have a windshield.
So I know we don't need to say this, but don't do what Dave's saying.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's very, very harmful.
Unsafe.
It could be dangerous.
Right.
It could lead to, I don't know, death.
Yes.
It's Kevin and Bean rule number 3.
Nope.
No. Please
right.
No.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's move along without him now, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Dr. Drew on the show today.
Great.
Normally on Thursdays, but he was unable to do it tomorrow.
He's been busy lately.
Very, yeah.
That Masked Singer.
where he got kicked off the first, where he was on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you did real well.
We're going to talk about marijuana being a gateway drug, which is back
smoke
in the news.
Smoke weed every day.
We also have the greatest action movie of all time. Another one of our staff is Insanity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Someone on our staff said, this is the greatest action movie of all time. We then laughed and said, let's talk about it on air.
I mean, I loved Up, but...
I mean, to say that...
I don't think that was his choice.
I can't believe someone said Wipey.
Right?
I didn't even know Wipey.
He votes for that for everything.
Right. Wipey.
Funniest.
Wipey, best movie.
Best
Wipey,
drama.
Best drama.
Yes.
Actors and actresses, all of them.
Yeah, best costumes.
Comedian Jeff Garland will join us in studio.
Yeah.
He's always pleasant. I love him so much. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night Number 1, which we will do just after 7 o'clock this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Allie is here. What's happening?
Guys, the Grammys taking place January 26th right here in L.A. at Staples Center. Hosted by Alicia Keys. If you can't make it down there, you can watch on CBS, which I imagine the majority of people listening right now will be doing. But we've got the nominations.
Okay.
These are always janky.
There are
It's always like, that's a rock band? Wait, right. That's hip-hop? Go ahead.
And we'll start with Best Rock Song.
Okay.
Tool, Fear Inoculum.
Sure. Great one. I love it.
I love it.
The 1975.
Yes.
Give Yourself a Try.
These are both good.
Vampire Weekend.
Yes.
Harmony Hall.
Wow, they're nailing it.
Well, I'm not telling you the song yet, and you're already saying yes.
Well, these are the right bands.
Okay.
Yep.
Brittany Howard, History Repeats.
Hmm?
Huh?
From Alabama Shakes, Brittany Howard.
I don't. Okay,
she's great.
Nope. Is it rock?
Don't know.
Okay.
Gary Clark Jr. This Land.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't know it, but he's great. I don't know the song. I don't know.
But you know,
I love
Gary
him.
Clark
oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's great.
So there you
okay.
go.
Yeah.
Okay. Best rock album. These are the bands. Bring Me the Horizon. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cage the Elephant.
Great.
Awesome. I Prevail. Not sure. Rival Sons. One of my That's My Jam picks. And the Cranberries.
What?
And the Cranberries.
What happened to Tool?
And the Cranberries.
What year is it?
What?
And the Cranberries.
But Tool was...
I need to double check these.
You
it doesn't
the Cranberries?
Right.
Is
yes.
it this year's nominations?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Best Alternative Music Album. Big Thief. James Blake. Bon Iver. Vampire Weekend. And Tom York.
Sure.
Okay.
Vampire Weekend for the win. I hope.
I think so.
I love them. You're I love right. them a lot. Best Rock Performance, Bones UK with Pretty Waste. Okay. Gary Clark Jr., This Land. Brittany Howard, History Repeats. Karen O and Danger Mouse with Woman.
Love that.
And Rival Sons, Too Bad. Rival Sons, you guys, is so dang good. We should be playing them on this station.
That. Karen O, that album was a get up on this in the early days.
Yeah.
Danger Mouse, yeah, it's a good record.
Yeah. Here's where it gets dicey for me with Best New Artist, Black Pumas, Billie Eilish,
okay.
Lil Nas X,
yes.
Lizzo, Maggie Rogers,
wow.
Rosalia, Tank and the Bangas.
You made that up.
That's what I'm
saying.
That
was my pick that one time when we were talking about
Tank
songs.
Tank and the Bangas and Yola. You guys... I am way far away from being a boomer, but I read this list and I went, okay, boomer.
If this
to
isn't
me,
Billie Eilish.
Well, yeah.
Or Lizzo, man.
Or Lizzo. Look, both great choices.
And Lil Nas X, you have to remember, has the longest running number one
run.
Hit of all time.
Song of the Year. Lady Gaga, Always Remember Us This Way. Billie Eilish, A Bad Guy. Brandi Carlile, Bring My Flowers Now. Her, Hard Place. Taylor Swift, Lover. Lana Del Rey, Norman Effing Rockwell, Louis Capaldi, Someone You Love, and Lizzo, Truth Hurts.
Tough categories.
Yeah. That and Best New Artist, other than the ones we don't know exist for real.
Yeah.
Those are both very difficult competitive.
Anytime Billie Eilish goes up against Lizzo,
or Lil Nas X.
What do you do?
Or Maggie Rogers.
Here's the thing. Album of the year. This is going to cause some issues.
Okay.
Bon Iver. Lana Del Rey.
Love.
Billie Eilish.
Love.
Her. Lil Nas X, Lizzo, Vampire Weekend.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah.
I say, in my opinion,
yep.
it's very difficult to say that anyone had a better year than Billie Eilish.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard to not give her the awards.
Okay.
Or Lizzo. I mean, listen, or Lizzo.
Lizzo
playing the fence.
Great. And Lizzo wins all of that if Billie Eilish isn't in there.
I agree.
I think.
Well, Billie Eilish is in there. So
right.
beat it, Lizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Record of the year, Bon Iver with Hey Ma, Billie Eilish, Bad Guy, Ariana Grande, Seven Rings, Her Hard Place, Khalid, Talk, Little Nas X, I just said Little Nas X, Little Nas X, Old Town Road, Lizzo, Truth Hurts, and Post Malone, Sunflower.
Hmm.
So that's a lot of names I just named off, and that was exciting.
And when is this show that we're not watching?
It is January 26th.
January 26th.
But Alicia Keys is back as host.
Oh,
so
right.
I
that does make you
want to
watch,
out.
Yeah.
I do enjoy her
they
so very much.
They also do put together differing acts at times.
Yeah.
And sometimes
yeah.
that's interesting and sometimes it's not, but I like this. I like that they're going for it.
And also, I want
to they award that type of thing?
Right.
Sometimes
yeah.
it's someone great.
And I want the producers to know that Kevin is available.
Oh, to do the...
To do the announcing.
Yeah.
You know, I did that for 4 years.
Yeah.
When is the last time you did it? Do you remember? No, I'm just asking the year. I'm not saying a specific one.
Were the Cranberries nominated?
I don't remember when that was.
Was like early 2000s?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, give it up for Maroon 5.
Mid? I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
I miss it. If we had a clip, can we just hear what we're missing?
Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once... God. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word 1. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with
All right, we got it.
Nope. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. With Carrie Underwood and Riscoe Flatts. Okay, I said both those names wrong. Sorry.
Riscoe
again.
Flatts.
Ludacris. A 49th Annual Grammy Awards with Vinci.
What?
An Let's do it again. No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
Great read.
No, I want to do it again. That's vodka and Red Bull for 4 days in a row in Miami. I could quite possibly die during this recording session. And yeah, that's that was.
Did you?
That was that time.
Did you puke at any point?
I didn't.
Okay.
But in my defense, if I might,
yeah,
went to the Super Bowl in Miami.
Right.
Came back, needed desperately to go to bed.
Right.
Yes.
Got the call on my way from the airport. Hey, you need to be here in like 10 minutes. I was like, what are you talking about? Because I was like, no one's ever been more hungover in their lives.
Yeah. Right.
Having said that, I would have done the same thing had I been sober. So.
Good times. It is a journey, yeah. And I enjoyed it, and I miss you doing the Grammys.
Marty J. Blig.
Riscoe Flatts. Corinne Bailey.
You know what's funny is that you record a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. When I did it live, they were all fine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But when I recorded them, man, that was a disaster.
It happened.
Sound engineer was just... dying laughing.
You're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
I love it. Some birthdays for you. Joel McHale, Joe Walsh from the Eagles, Joe Biden, Jared Falwell, and Ming-Na Wen. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Yesterday morning, we were talking about... it was International Men's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who knew that was a thing?
Finally got something.
Right?
Well, it's every year.
It's about time. What?
Well, we should have it more than once because we deserve way more. We're underappreciated.
Absolutely. I agree with Jensen.
Thank you.
gross. Do any of you know what International Men's Day is about, what they're trying to raise awareness for?
Meat.
Eating. Incorrect.
Oh.
I have no idea.
No idea?
I mean, I just assume it's a celebration of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And our manliness.
Well, yeah. It's to promote positive male role models. It's also to start a discussion about mental health. I don't know if you men know this. A lot of times, guys will keep their emotions to themselves. And then bad things happen. And the suicide rate for men is just insanity, you guys. So it's all about... creating a positive space.
International Men's Day is more of a bummer than I want it to be.
Right? Can't we just like talk about boobs?
I thought it was just a day we work out for.
Yeah.
Talk about cool man stuff.
We're trying to create a better, safer world for all of us.
That too.
Which brings us to something we talked about yesterday, which really isn't what we're celebrating with International Men's Day at all.
Who came up with the idea? Who's the manliest? Who's done the manliest thing in their life?
I think it was Jensen because he's like the least manliest person.
What happened is I think
not just in the room,
no, in life.
Wow.
I think what happened is we were sitting around talking about Men's International Day or whatever, and we talked about what they're celebrating.
Yeah.
Like what you've done to be a man, and
we came up with none of the stuff you said. Okay, right. Go ahead.
And with a straight face, uh-huh. I think, and I kind of mean it, I don't know any manly things I've ever done.
Like, you're talking about, like, fix something, change a tire. What kind of things do you consider manly?
Okay, those would both be great.
Okay.
Fishing.
Okay.
Camping.
All right.
Building. I've hired almost someone to do any building I've ever done in my life because I just know it'll turn out better.
Okay.
And I wrote down the last night, obviously, this threw me into quite a tither.
A man never says tither.
You know, if I'm
that's
a man
rule
or not.
One.
And these were the two manliest achievements I've come up
okay.
with.
Right.
Okay. These in my entire life. This isn't just like this year. I camped once.
Right. Okay.
And I camped. And I can't. No, I camped for reals. This wasn't glamping. It wasn't in the car.
Okay. How old were you?
Built the tent. Late 20s, early
30s. Oh, okay. That counts.
And that's what it was. It was manly.
Okay.
And I did all the stuff. Yeah, one time.
Okay.
I would do it again if asked.
Okay.
I kill all the spiders in the house.
That is very.
I mean, isn't that sort of an every?
Oh, my wife. That's not really.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a man thing.
I don't think that's a man thing, unless it's like a tarantula, like level
spider.
That's
true. He only has two.
Okay, we'll give you that one.
That's really good.
I'm done. You're such a man.
I'm done now.
You know what?
That's really good, Jensen.
I will say one thing about Jensen that is manly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's the hairiest man I know. He's very hairy.
I'm very hairy. That is good. Three. Okay. I'll take that as well.
All right. What about you, Dave?
I think I got that beat. I mean, I once built a shelf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is it IKEA?
No.
Okay.
It was an actual shelf that I had.
By the way, IKEA would be
like
more
that.
Impressive. That's impossible.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Cool. And then one time during a pedicure, the lady stabbed me. Literally was like on the bottom of my foot, stabbed me. Blood came out, cut. I didn't even bat an eye.
No.
I just went, what's up?
You can't be manly in your story about a pedicure.
Yeah.
Also, don't go to that place again.
Yeah. I get
it.
And don't ever say, ugh.
But I was like, yeah.
Dave
blood and everything.
Dave brags about how soft his hands are.
He does. That's
so he like legit. He's like, feel my hands and how soft they are.
No manual
it's
labor.
It's a little
no manual labor.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay, but
Omar?
A shelf.
By the way, I just want to say I have two things, and Harry, which is a half.
Yeah.
He only has one.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah.
Dave
right.
Oh, two. The stabbing.
Again, pedicure. No, I feel like he didn't make it.
Sorry, denied.
No, denied.
Omar? Okay.
I'm pretty manly. I think. Yes. I think I'm probably the manliest man here.
Yeah.
I've installed a roof. Have you guys installed a roof?
No.
Wow. No. So no. I've installed a roof.
I didn't even watch what I hire someone to do it.
How about this? I've never even been on a roof.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Nope. I've never been on a roof.
Not
even
joking.
No, I've never
not
been on a roof.
Not even to jump in a pool?
No, I've
you're
never been
joking.
On a roof.
Oh, my God.
No, I've
you
never stood on a
kid?
Roof.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, what are you talking about as a kid?
Yes, as a kid.
I would be fearful of even standing on a chair as a kid.
I used to hang out on roofs. Like, that was a thing.
My grandpa would make me climb a ladder to bring him things on the roof.
No, yeah. I've never been on a
roof.
Wow.
Oh,
all
right. Man. Dave just took the lead. All right. Omar.
I've built two sheds.
Okay.
Jeez.
I've swapped out two water heaters.
Nice.
I've remodeled an entire closet.
Nice.
I own three different type of saws.
Almost.
I've never used a saw.
You've
never used one.
What the?
Go on.
I've chopped down three different trees.
Why?
One with solely an axe, just because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it
with just
an axe.
Talk slower.
And I think the manliest thing I've ever done was we took this ridiculous hike up Yosemite. It was like about 2 hours to get to where we're going up, and then it was another 2 hours down.
Mm-hmm.
But my dumbass took my 3-year-old daughter, and she got so tired that she couldn't come down the 2-hour hike.
Mm-hmm.
I had to carry her down this steep-ass mountain for 2 hours, and I made it, and I saved my daughter, essentially.
I think that's wonderful, but you took your 3-year-old daughter up and down a steep-ass mountain.
Listen, he said he was manly, not smart.
Exactly.
Okay, that
was a dumb-ass thing to do, for sure. I'll own up to that,
Well,
for sure.
I feel like Omar has...
I mean, he has a
and by the way, I pump iron on the reg. On the reg.
Right. I'm taking a point off.
I'm taking a point off.
You're subtracting a point for that.
Gross.
Kevin... Where are you at on
this? I have a pretty decent one. I used to go to a camp in high school called Challenge Wilderness Camp, and it was a real backpack, 2-week backpack trip where you climb a mountain, you set up your tent, you start the fire, you catch food, sometimes fish, the whole thing.
Eat a classmate.
If needed, right. We were at the very top. It was just over 10,000 feet high.
Whoa.
Like, it took us probably 8-9 days to get there. And a guy who had diabetes forgot his insulin.
Oh, wow.
And he went into a coma.
What?
A diabetic coma.
Diabetic shock?
Yes. And he was just out. And we were like, what the? So we took two branches and a sleeping bag, and we made like a, what do you call it?
Like a triage? Like what?
How dare you, Allie?
Allie's
tell her a good
stop.
Story.
All right, I don't even know what it is, so I can't help.
It's a stretcher thing.
Thank
you.
There it is.
So,
dang it.
But we were at the very top of the mountain, so we had to walk all the way down. There were four of us, one on each corner. We had to walk all the way down the mountain.
Is there an adult here? Like an adult?
Yes, okay. He was helping.
Okay. I
mean, thank God.
There's real.
We treated him. We opened him up.
Yeah. No, there was no treating him. So it took us, like, we went during the day, and then at night, we literally had to keep going, but we had to put our feet out in front of us because we couldn't see anything.
Wow.
Nothing. And then we got down. It was about 9 o'clock at night, and they said, look, we're not going to make it, so somebody has to run and get help. There was like this medic tent at the base of the mountain. So it was probably 3/4 of a mile, maybe a mile.
In just darkness.
Yes. So I ran, and I got the guy, and the guy got on a horse and rode back up, and they told us the next day, 2 or 3 more hours, he would have died.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah, but did you hear I've killed spiders in my house?
I did hear that.
Okay. I kill them when they're there.
But then I do also have a counterpoint, and that's that I didn't want to rappel because I'm afraid of heights, so I hid behind a rock. So I don't know. Does that wipe out?
It evens out.
It evens out, right?
We all know. Okay, so Omar won.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, I don't know. Is there anything since high school?
Well,
here's the thing.
I think he blew his wad on that because, like, what happened now, dude? You're not really manly now.
How dare you?
Yeah, you're the dude that trims his leg hairs, right?
I mean,
you trim your leg hairs?
I'm not Jensen, if that's what you're saying.
How dare you push this onto me? You manscape your legs, completely shaven, so you can wear shorts.
Not completely shaven. No.
Let's just put this out here now.
My stabbing
looks
good.
Manscaping is great, and getting pedicures is great. Dave, I support you.
Yeah.
Dudes, take care of yourself.
So I'm lowest. I guess I'm lowest.
Jensen brings up the rear.
Yeah.
I mean, normally, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what?
Wait, okay.
Then Dave, then me, then Omar?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
For sure.
I got stabbed.
Although, honestly, though, if we're swinging, you know what? I'm winning this.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 2, and we're going to do this by testing your lyrical knowledge. You have to know the lyrics from these songs. Are we telling them the band?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think we said
some of the
right?
band. That'll help.
So we'll tell you the band, and then you just have to give us the song title, and it's called Finish the Line.
You want to win the tickets? You must know the lyrics. Come on now, it's easy. You can win for cheesy. Finish the line, and you win this time. Okay, win the tickets. Finish the line, and you win this time. Just finish the line. Finish the line, and you win this time. Okay, here we go. Finish the line, and you win this time. Ow!
All right, the way I described it might not be accurate.
No.
So you don't have to give us the song title.
Uh-uh.
Yes.
We're going to start playing a song, then it's going to stop. And when it stops, you have to give us the next line.
You finish the lyrics.
Yes, finish the lyrics, right.
And we'll tell you the band name just to help out.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's start with Anthony in Los Angeles. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, are you there?
Hello?
Anthony. No.
All right. Bye-bye.
No. Bye, Anthony.
Hi, Reese.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry. All right. Let's go to Philip in Riverside. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Well.
Have you talked to Anthony? We miss him.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
All right, are you ready? You got to give us the lyrics right after the music stops, okay?
Okay.
This is Lovely the Band.
Great. Good one, Muggs.
I like that you're broken, broken like me. Maybe that makes me a fool.
I like that you're lonely, lonely like me.
One more line.
Like that you're lonely, lonely like me. Baby, that makes me a fool.
I feel like it was the
You
one.
Feel like the first two?
Yeah, I feel like he got it.
So
instead.
Yeah.
Oh,
We didn't say how many lines
we did
at the beginning.
I like that you're lonely, lonely like me. Philip, I liked it.
We'll give it to him.
All right. Philip is in. All right. Let's go to Ralph in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning. I guess he got that. I don't know about that.
He got it, Ralph.
Hey, just wait and see if it works in your favor.
Yeah, let's see. It could help you.
All right. This is Mumford & Sons, okay?
Yep.
We'll blow away with this new song. But
I'll kneel down, know my ground.
That would be enough. You didn't sing it, but good.
That would be enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah!
Good job, Ralph.
All right, you
I
hold
feel
on.
Like they should be singing it.
Yeah, I feel like we've already changed the rules six times in the middle of this game.
It's and always been
my
singing.
My other rule, can I, you can just any song you want. Just say any lyrics. Any Rock My Baby, anything. Just say it.
Let's go to Ramon in Whittier. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you. Are you ready? Yours is The Interrupters.
And he can make it out if he can dream it. Rising up from the ash. He's a phoenix. I'm a match. She can't see. You know she gonna burn down everything.
Because I'm a match. I'm a kerosene. Something,
they...
something.
That's what they just...
No.
Nope.
No.
She's an arsonist.
Yeah, that
and
was
I
not
remember
right.
For the last
that was not correct.
No. Okay. Let's try Sabrina in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Are you ready to finish the line?
Finish the line, and you win this time.
You get the raconteurs.
I don't know.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Mm. All right, let's go to Elliot in Granada Hills. Good morning, Elliot.
Hello.
Hello, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay.
All right, here you go. This is Of Monsters and Men.
So listen to a word I say. The screams all sound the same.
Listen to a word I say, and I sound the same. I don't know it.
I really like you working
love
it out.
Yes.
Working
so
through
much.
It. Loved working it
he
out.
He worked through it and yet didn't come up
didn't
with it.
Yeah.
It is.
No.
All right. Thank you for playing.
All right.
Let's go to John in Inglewood. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Are you ready to
finish the line and you win this time?
It's going to be
yes,
21 Pilots. Here we go.
Nice.
My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days. When the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
Nice.
Yes. Time.
Nicely done. How about that?
Loved it.
All right, and let's take one more. Let's make it Jenna in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Yay, good morning.
All right, are you ready? Yours is the 1975.
Okay. And that's the untwined, it's interesting. Life is untwined, something intertwined with somebody else.
Though beautiful, what you're saying.
I mean, how beautiful is her voice just humming it? Mm-hmm. That's well, not
that's
fair.
Not what we're...
Okay, it's, nope. it's
can
not...
I, can I just sing something else?
Yeah. It's not beautifully hum the line.
Sing something else.
Jenna.
She got intertwining, though. Yes.
She got one word. We're not going to give it to
her. Every iteration of all of those.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. We have three people that are the finalists. See who goes to night number two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The winner is going to be John from Inglewood.
John. Congrats, John.
Hey, let's go.
Nicely done. We'll see you night number two, and thanks for playing the game.
Finish the line, and you win this time. Ow!
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
We're having a conversation about the best action movie of all time, and this is one of my favorite genres.
Yeah.
And Beer Mug, your pick for the best act, the single best action movie of all time.
I want to address also, he had no hesitation.
Right.
It was almost like it was on the tip of his tongue. He wanted us to know that he thinks the greatest action movie of all time is...
Ladies and gentlemen, 1990's one... What? Let me take that again.
It's a perfect delivery.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1991's action-packed movie, Point Break.
Did you say Point Break?
I did say Point Break.
Silence is my favorite.
But nope. Guys, listen.
But what you said was, I just want to make sure I understood.
Yeah.
Point Break?
Point Break.
Best action movie of that year.
No, all time.
Best action movie with the word point in the title.
All time.
So Raiders of the Lost Ark didn't exist.
See now, Casey on the Finger on the Button girl said she brought that up, but that's like an action adventure film. That's not really action. Just like guns. But let me explain why. All right. So number one, it is directed by one of the greatest action female directors ever, Catherine Bigelow.
Just a director.
Catherine Bigelow. She directed films such as The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark Thirty.
Loved both.
And let me read you the synopsis.
I like both of those better, but go ahead.
But let me read you the synopsis that was online real quick so I could break it down for you, all right? Here it is. After a string of bizarre bank robberies in Southern California, with the crooks donning masks of various former presidents, a federal agent played by Keanu Reeves, also known as Johnny Utah, infiltrates the suspected gang. But this is no ordinary group of robbers. They're surfers, led by the charismatic Bodie, played by Patrick Swayze, who are addicted to the rush of thievery. But when Utah falls in love with a female surfer, Tyler, played by Lori Petty, who is close to the gang, it complicates his sense of duty. You guys.
We've all seen it. There's no revelation.
And by the way, I think we all like it.
Yeah.
Let me reiterate for you guys.
Best action movie
ever.
Of all time.
Ever.
All right, before you do something else, you just read for a half hour, but 1-800-520-1067. We want to include your phone calls on this. The best action adventure?
No. I mean, aren't they? He's
action.
Crazy.
That, action.
He even, action adventure, sort of the
Indiana
same thing.
Indiana Jones is an action movie.
Yeah.
The, just because you add another word to it doesn't make it. It's an action movie, and Point Break is a fine movie, but it's not even in my top 100 action movies.
No. Guys.
Does Die Hard not exist anymore?
It's
great
good.
Question.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's one of the greatest movies of all time. It's
good. Does Kill Bill Volume 1 not exist in your universe?
Sure, that's fine.
Does The Dark Knight not exist?
That was okay.
The Fugitive?
The Dark Knight was okay?
It was okay.
John Wick?
Guys, when you add bank robberies, surfing, skydiving, Gary Busey, for crying out loud.
I mean, he's pretty
Gary
good.
Busey, who maybe have one of the all-time iconic lines that is even repeated to this day when you're ordering two of something.
Utah, give me two.
I mean,
oh, yeah, that's the hottest line,
come
man. Everyone
on,
so
every
quoted.
Are you telling
way,
me that that's an iconic line?
Yes. For the record, I've seen Point Break 5 times, didn't remember
had
that,
no
line,
idea
even
that line.
No, forgot it even existed.
Ian,
come on.
Are you telling me you go up to somewhere and you're like, Utah, give me two?
Every time. That was a great, great music. Every time I order two of something, I always repeat that line. Now, the
I
end of the movie, you guys.
Right now.
This is ridiculous.
The end of the movie, you guys.
We've seen the movie.
I mean, first of all,
we watched it.
It opens up with action, okay?
Right, we watched yes.
oh, an action movie.
Patrick Swayze and the three other surfers bust into the bank yes. wearing Ronald yes. Reagan masks.
Yeah, we've
Dick
seen
Nixon.
It. Seen it.
Say, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the ex-presidents of the United States of America.
You're making it worse.
Now
you're making it like a bad movie.
He's reenacting.
And at the end, Keanu Reeves, Johnny Utah, is forced to go in on a bank robbery with the robbers, and it could jeopardize his FBI career.
He's 1,000% wrong.
Yeah. He's so wrong.
And yet he's sort of selling me with his enthusiasm.
You know what I love, Kevin?
What?
The passion.
The passion. Love the passion.
Love the passion.
Right.
The only way that's the best action movie of all time is if at the end Total Recall starts. Just starts another movie. Happens at the end of Point Break.
Guys, I don't think you've seen this movie.
I don't think we've all seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen Heat.
And?
That's great. Great. Uh-huh. Great movie. I've seen Speed.
Okay.
Great action movie.
The Rock is up there on
my
list.
I love The Rock.
And Con Air.
Yeah, both
good great
movies.
Nick Cage action movies.
I'm going to assume you assume that Star Wars is a action adventure.
Absolutely. It's an action adventure.
Okay. I'd even maybe throw that into sci-fi. But,
yeah,
but still action adventure, I think.
Sure. I don't know if I'd throw Star Wars into things we're saying.
Okay.
You guys.
It's very good. These are good.
Patrick Swayze actually did the skydiving in scenes.
You know what I'm going to say? I like Roadhouse Patrick Swayze more than I like
Patrick Swayze.
By the way.
I like Dirty Dancing Patrick
Swayze.
And
while you're talking about actors who do their own stunts, any Mission Impossible movie.
You're right.
Any one of them. Did Tom Cruise go skydiving? I think not. Did he surf? I think not. Did he do his own fight scenes? Maybe a couple times.
Yeah, he hangs from a helicopter. He jumps over rooftops.
He broke a leg, like a real leg in a movie.
He ate a man.
Well, I don't know about it. I didn't see that movie.
All I'm saying, guys, is time stops. If I see this movie on TV, I don't think he ate a man, by the way.
I don't think so. I was just saying.
If I see this movie on TV, on cable, whatever, I stop and I watch. I have it on VHS. I have it on DVD.
Okay. Can I have
it recorded to my DVR?
You know what? This will tell you something. Uh-huh. I don't even own it on Blu-ray.
How dare you?
Wow.
Jensen, I am a little shocked.
I don't even own it.
I'm a little shocked.
Can I tell you mine?
Yeah.
Can it be three movies?
Sure.
Sure.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Thank you.
That's a better action movie.
I think the Bourne Ultimatum is one of the greatest movies ever.
That's my pick. If I have to pick one, Ultimatum is it.
Agree, Kevin.
Guys, those all came out after Point Break. Point Break
was not the best early one.
Point Break was a pioneer for action movies. Guys, Catherine Bigelow in the chasing, on the foot chasing. Yeah, there's a foot chasing. She was a revolutionary. She used a stripped down 35mm camera for that scene.
Listen to Mug Scorsese over here.
What year did this movie come out?
1991.
So it was a pioneer?
Yes.
So Die Hard in 1988 was what?
Die Hard was okay.
Oh my God, get the hell out. I'm turning off your mic.
I'm sorry, I'm turning off your mic.
We're going to take some phone calls.
Oh my God, he's
going into other people's mics. I'm hiding my mic now.
All right, let's go to Daniel and Pico Rivera. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
Well, not great.
Not great at the time.
A disgusting person on our staff.
How dare.
So, best action movie of all time.
Terminator Uno.
Yeah.
Terminator's great.
Better than Point Break. And I'm even going to say T2's better. One of the rare sequels that are better than originals. But either way, both better than Point Break.
And by the way,
can I just make fun of Mugs real quick?
Please.
Sure. You have all the time.
Agent.
Yeah, okay, sure. You know, Keanu Reeves, not his best acting, but he was 21. Mm-hmm. He was 21 in that movie. Give him a break.
It was no River's Edge, Keanu Reeves.
Was there ever, dude?
Was there ever a live action show? Daniel, the last word on that one. All right, we need to take a break.
Yeah, we'll take calls though. 1-800-520-1067.
No more mugs, though, right?
No more.
Okay.
No, we got to put
no mugs. We'll take your calls coming up next on K Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K Rock.
Let's go to Victor in Maywood. Good morning, Victor.
Morning.
We're talking about the best action movies ever.
Well, I'm going to have to say, hands down, it's going to be Taken.
Yeah.
Taken is pretty damn good.
Taken, better movie than Point Break.
That's
absolutely
pretty good.
100%. Yeah. Yes, I agree with you.
Hell yeah.
I always hope that he's in a movie where his child is stolen. I don't want to see any other Liam Neeson.
What about Liam Neeson on a train? Remember that one?
If they steal his daughter? Absolutely.
Team of rejects, outsiders, underdogs.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm in.
K-Rock.
And we're talking about the best action movies of all time.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think I guess I'm sort of surprised that some people think Muggs is right. But we got one tweet from the 714 that says, what about any of the James Bond films,
Agreed.
Guys?
Mm-hmm.
Any of the James Bond
Agreed.
Films.
They're all great.
From the 818, every Jackie Chan movie has more action than Point Break, Agreed. And they're just as bad.
That guy should kill himself.
No, he should not kill himself.
Yeah, don't say that ever.
Adam says the beer mug is an idiot.
That's true. I think we all agree on that.
I'm picking the ones, because there are a few people that said, there's an 818, Muggs is totally right, Point Break is the GOAT.
I have a valid point that I would like to make right now.
Go ahead.
Has there ever, in the history of action movies, has there ever been a live show made from it? No. Thank you, Matzaklan.
I'm talking about Point Break Live.
Yes.
Okay.
That actually, if you've seen it, they kind of make fun of the movie the whole time.
Not only have I seen it, I was in it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matzaklan.
Who'd you play?
Who do you think?
Who cares?
You're Utah.
Listen, you owe me a dollar. We bet beforehand. You owe me a dollar.
That's a valid point.
Let's go to Manny in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
The Matrix.
Yeah.
Great
exactly.
action movie.
The Matrix.
Yes.
The original Matrix is better than Point Break. Absolutely.
Agreed.
And what is that? Sci-fi Muggs? You want to clarify?
Yeah, that's science action.
Science action?
That's not even
a
thing.
Science action.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Washington, D.C., who's streaming us right now. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey.
Okay. So, first off, I have to defend what is usually indefensible. I'm defending Muggs on this.
Oh, wow.
We're losing the connection, Kevin.
I can't hear you, Kevin, all the way in Washington, D.C.
Let the man speak.
Utah Gimme 2 is actually a thing. That's something that a lot of people say. Maybe it's because I'm around his age, and that's just our thing, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's popular, but
it's
the
just
greatest
your
action
thing.
Movie of all time.
It's
it,
not
it might correct. Be just my thing.
Not the greatest action movie, right.
The greatest action movie of all time is Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
I love it.
Hot Fuzz is great.
The Edgar Wright movie,
Agreed.
Better than Point Break.
Comedy action. That's comedy action.
Right. Comedy action. So it
he just
count?
Puts every movie in
Honestly,
a different category
it's
than
insane.
It is.
That's come action.
Whoa.
What is Die
sorry,
Hard?
What?
Is it Christmas action?
See, if that has to be debated still, we don't even know what kind of a movie that is. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it an action movie?
Doesn't matter. It's
oh,
an action movie.
Know.
It's an action movie
Number
either
one,
way.
Who invited Bernie Sanders to the debate?
Right, and who
Listen,
is
we gotta
debating?
Split up K-Rock.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Let's go to Gabe in Lakewood. Good morning, Gabe.
Morning, fellas. Okay, two movies starring Samuel Jackson. Okay. One being The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, didn't see it.
Which was good.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the second one stars Samuel Jackson, Christian Slater, Brad Pitt, Val Kilmer, yeah. Gary Oldman, Dennis Hopper, and Christopher Walken, and Chris Penn.
Oh, who's the catering crew on that?
I'm sorry, Muggs butt in. Go ahead, Gabe. What's the name of it?
True Romance.
True Romance.
You will say it's more of a romantic
It is.
Action
it's a
film.
Love action mm-hmm. movie.
Oh, a love
and
action
movie. And I would say
movie.
Hitman's Bodyguard.
That is shoot 'em up, kick some ass movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, True Romance is incredible.
Yeah, I
Thank
agree.
You, Gabe.
Better than Point Break.
Let's go to Ed in Los Angeles. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I got to think of an epic action film.
Okay.
Gladiator.
Yes.
Gladiator.
Yes. Gladiator is better than Point Break.
I agreed.
Does it
sandals.
Have skydiving and surfing? Nope.
I'm sorry, Allie, what was your comment?
It has lions, it has love and heartbreak and deceit. It's fantastic.
But those sandals, yo.
Listen.
That's a great point.
Gladiator is a better movie than Point Break.
All right. Oh. Thank you for the call.
No.
Let's go to Brian in West Covina. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So we're having problems here with
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
My suggestion is John Wick 3. That's hands down the GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say any
Wick. Of the John Wick movies mm-hmm. are better than Point Break. I agree.
What's the common denominator with John Wick and Point Break? Keanu Reeves.
Have you seen River's Edge? You putting that
it's
in the
irrelevant.
Top movie? Come on, dude.
Although you know, I loved it. Keanu Reeves is a great actor. Mm-hmm. I've loved him most of it. Bill and Ted's, Parenthood. I've liked him forever. That doesn't make it the greatest action movie of all time.
Agreed.
Yeah.
In the least bit.
You guys have eyes.
We have eyes.
And we have ears.
Uh-huh.
And we're able to tell movies apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, and I want to go to Ryan on line 5, because I think maybe he's got a good point about nostalgia.
Okay, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. So when I was a kid, my sister and I wore out the VHS of Point Break.
Okay.
Yeah, we loved it. Don't get me wrong. But we also did the same thing with Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Which is a great movie.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
Dishes are done,
sometimes
dude.
There's a loss of translation as you get older. I don't know.
I agree with you.
So
you remember
you would say probably not as good as you remember it.
Right.
That's my point. Exactly.
Okay.
Thank
how
you,
long has it been since you've watched it?
Go ahead, Ryan, and watch it again. I'll watch it. I think I watched it last week. It's on my DVR. I could access it anytime I want.
Oh, it, humble
it,
brag.
It holds up. I still get the
we
same.
We get it. You have a DVR.
I still get the same sort of adrenaline rush I do from the first time I watched it.
Okay.
All right?
Shut up.
I do.
All right. Ray, good morning.
Morning.
Hi there. Sorry.
So, it's all right. I have the best action movie of all time, and it is The Predator.
Yeah, that is great movie. Better, literally great as well.
Yeah,
better than Point Break.
Yeah, it is.
No, right. Predator is awesome. Uh-huh. But science action.
It's not science.
There's no such thing.
There's no science.
What's wrong with you? All right, let's go to John in Simi Valley. Hi.
Hey, you know, I do have to honorable mention True Lies.
Yeah, great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie. But I think Kevin, earlier caller, touched upon it. I think it's an age thing, whereas, you know, I gotta stand by my Broheem mugs.
No,
that is not where you
so
want to be.
Point Break is the greatest action movie ever.
Quintessential summer movie. Point Break. Anytime it's on, you sit down.
But we're not talking about summer movies. We're talking about action movies.
You can watch it any season you want.
Same with every movie that is available ever.
All right, look, we have to end it here.
It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
What's happening, Allie?
Guys, Kristen Bell got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday, just ahead of the release of Frozen 2. She also joined her co-star, Idina Menzel, for a double star ceremony. And she said something on the red carpet right at the little speech time.
Where they get up and they give a speech?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right at the
that little speech time.
Okay.
There was a podium involved, and she stood. Here's the thing. She said something that made me laugh, and I thought we'd play it for you.
Thank you all for being here and for this honor today. This star will really only know its true value when inevitably someone is mugged in that very spot. And as they clutch their purse, the assailant screams, "Let it go!" And the victim will look up and say, "That's not even her song, you son of a bitch."
She's awesome.
I love her so very much, you guys.
Too.
Do you think, though, that the Hollywood Chamber was like, please don't talk about muggings at the Walk of Fame ceremony?
The very safe Hollywood Highland?
Yes.
But way too late for this one. She already got the start.
Is there anything in Los Angeles more depressing for tourists than Hollywood and Highland? Let's be honest.
Depressing for tourists.
Like, it is packed there every
single
day.
I know, but you expect that it's like the Walk of Fame and you think it's going to be this thing. It's just kind of like a kind of a sad corner.
But the Walk of Fame isn't just a corner.
No, but I mean, like, that's
miles.
The epicenter
that
or whatever.
Is the epicenter.
Like, you see it. That's where the Oscars are, right? Like, it's basically all these glamorous Hollywood things you expect are going to be there. And it's just like, you know, you can get like a hot dog wrapped in, bacon.
Yeah, but what if that's what you really want?
All right.
Then it's the best place ever.
Well, just saying.
No, I agree. It can't
be depressing.
It's
definitely not like you go to New York to Times Square and you're like, whoa, look at this.
Yes.
You go there and you're like, should we go to Ripley's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Is this needle infectious as you walk over it? Like, that's more the question you're asking.
Oh, we just lost our sponsorship of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce.
No worries.
Guys, not sure if you heard this yesterday, but according to Gregory Allen Howard, who is the screenwriter of the movie Harriet, which is, of course, about Harriet Tubman, the biopic, a Hollywood studio executive once suggested the idea of Julia Roberts playing the iconic abolitionist and activist Harriet Tubman.
Shut up! You shut up!
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Here's the thing. He had been trying to get this movie made for a long time, and he had a meeting, and he said one of the studio heads said in the meeting, "This script is fantastic. Let's get Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman." Then someone pointed out that Roberts
is white.
Probably couldn't be Harriet Tubman. And the executive responded, quote, "It was so long ago. No one's going to know the difference."
Oh my God.
Dumb idea.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine? And by can you imagine, probably, yeah.
How long ago is he saying this happened?
The movie had been in development for 26 years.
So, well, I mean, so, I'm not defending it at all. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out when this idiot was working.
Well, here's the thing. If you are even questioning this, even recently, the next story after this one on my Twitter feed was how Rebel Wilson will be writing and producing a K-pop comedy. And I was like, yep.
Makes sense.
Makes sense, sure.
Give it to a white chick.
When you think K-pop.
You think of an Australian named Rebel Wilson.
I did read that press release as well because I just want to know more about it. And it is funny that they say a writer came in and helped out with the script and it's an Asian woman. I just thought it was cute that they like, you never read like someone came in and helped on a script. It was just like, we also had Asians. Asians were involved. Tons of Asians.
We were Asian adjacent on this K-pop movie.
Oh, it was like we had to push Asians out. Too many were there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good times, you guys. Felicity Huffman, right?
Right.
She did 11 days behind bars. Many wondered what kind of punishment Lori Loughlin will receive because the alleged crimes are very different. Huffman admitted to spending $15,000 to pump up her daughter's SAT scores, while Loughlin and her husband Massimo have been accused of shelling out $500,000 to bribe their daughter's way into USC. Mm-hmm. And unlike Huffman, Loughlin and Massimo have pled not guilty, a move that many have deemed very risky.
And very stupid.
Yes. There's a real estate exec, Toby McFarlane, who was sentenced to 6 months after pleading guilty to shelling out $450,000 to get his two kids into USC.
Yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Ted also.
Ted.
Yeah. There's similar alleged crimes, and Laughlin's refusal to cop a plea.
It's not going
to
help.
Are making people think this is going to get pretty bad. So
don't
they talked to
ever trust Whitey.
GMA legal analyst, Dan Abrams, and he said, now this was a guilty plea.
Star Wars.
Ken, that's
and,
JJ.
And Super 8.
I hate right? all of you.
Yeah.
He said, this was someone who's accepted responsibility for it, talking about this Toby McFarlane person.
That's Spider-Man.
Okay.
Right.
It's Maguire. And said, they're still getting 6 months. So you've got to believe if Loughlin were to take it to trial with the additional charge that has been thrown at her, if convicted, she's looking at 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
And I say, do it!
Go all out.
Throw the book in
Lori
Loughlin,
Becky. You should be confident. You should go into this knowing you have a case. You
take a bunch of selfies on your way in. Like, we'll buy our way out of this. Becky.
But bank a whole lot of them, though.
Yeah.
Might need them.
I'm just saying. Why would you not plead guilty?
That's just not good.
It's just not smart. Mm-hmm. Guys, let me know what you think about this bar in Dubai, which is giving women free drinks. But there's a catch. The free drinks are based on their weight.
What? Wait, what?
Here's the thing.
Say that again.
The more they weigh, the more free drinks they receive.
Okay.
The Fusion Club announced that it's going to be running a special through the end of the year, offering 12 cents in free drink credits for every pound a customer weighs, meaning a woman that weighs 150 pounds would receive about $18.50 worth of free drinks.
Did you do that math, or was that in the story?
It's in the story, okay, of course. Although we have a weighing machine at the bar entrance, we do not insist that our guests verify the weight, said Anil Kumar.
Take your word for it.
The hotel's food and beverage manager. We believe in the magnanimity. What's that?
Nope.
Yeah. Magnanimity.
Sorry, what's the word?
Mugs. I just had to Jedi force Mugs to stop talking.
You couldn't have done that earlier when he was talking about Point Break?
It's true.
All right, Allie, what's the...
What is it?
I didn't get the word.
A little peach just came in.
God, I really need this news story all the way through. And I need all the details.
I feel like that word is the...
It really is important to the story.
The story.
Oh no! Well, how long we got? We're on till 9:30.
Magnanimity.
I mean, you're getting closer.
Magnanimity.
Oh man! Oh, no.
I think I've ever said this word. Ever.
This has never happened.
You should. You know what you should do is pre-read these stories. All right, listen, Jeff Garland's here.
Oh, no. I wouldn't stay if I were him.
So we are going to have to bail on that.
How do you say it?
As tough as that is.
How do you say it?
I mean.
Magnum P.I.
The Magnum P.I. of our lady guests. They could just write their weight on paper. I don't even care anymore. Let's just go.
Magnanimity?
That's
magnanimity.
The best story ever.
What?
Magnanimity.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then they say, here's some chocolate, fat Joe.
Okay, that's not what they say.
Would you know magnanimous if it was on the...
Sure.
Okay.
Say it again.
Magnanimity.
Magnanimity. Mm-hmm. I have never said that word in my life.
Same. No way I could have either.
I feel like I say a lot of words.
You do say a lot of words.
You say too many words, some would say.
What?
Too far?
I don't get it. Some birthdays for you.
That's a classic. That's going on the podcast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
thank you.
Ming-Na Wen, Joel McHale, Joe Walsh, Joe Biden, and Jared Falwell. And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
One of our favorite guests in the world is here, comedian Jeff Garland.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was Thank not you. Enough applause.
I'm magnanimous.
Comedian. Oh, man.
That wasn't the word, though.
Magnanimity. Is that right?
I mean, you kind of tiptoed over it, but sure.
But I have to say, I've never used that word.
No one does.
I know.
Right?
You use magnanimous if
magnanimous,
you're using it.
Magnanimous, yeah.
I give her some credit
for that.
Thank you, Jeff. But it was fun hearing her flounder.
Oh, no, it's always delightful. Anyone floundering with a word is delightful. And you should show them the joy that you're getting from it so they continue.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We put our arms up so that no one helps. I mean, we do the whole thing.
Yeah. No one help. Yeah.
Jeff is here because he's got a Netflix special called Jeff Garland, Our Man in Chicago.
No. I am here because I love coming here.
That's nice.
Okay, that's
and
very nice.
I love you, and I love the show.
Look at the timing.
And I just found out that I haven't been here. I haven't been with you for over a year. The last time was at the old place.
That's correct.
Which was surprising to me.
Did you go there?
What's that?
Did you go to the other place?
On accident? Well, like, thinking it was
there?
We've had four guests go there.
No. But it just goes to show that I haven't done a radio interview in a long time. Because yours, if not the only one... I think you're the only one in L.A. that I do local radio. Like, this is it for
You hadn't
me.
Been doing much.
No, I don't. I don't like to. I like napping.
I get it.
Which he talks a lot about in his special. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, he would nap and stay home and never go out,
That's
ever.
Correct.
Which is
That's
ironic right. from a guy who has, like, 17 jobs.
Right.
And by the way, I enjoy all of them, but I prefer a good nap.
And if you think about the Goldbergs, you're on a recliner 90% of the show.
Well, I sometimes am sitting in my underwear in the Barca Lounger on the Goldbergs for an entire day.
Yeah.
And I'll say, oh, can I have an iced tea? Someone brings me an iced tea. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, who did I have to get this job?
Yeah,
that
it's
is
nice.
A gig, man.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, that is a gig.
Because I just, so, yeah. I mean, and by the way, no exaggeration, oh, I'll nap in that chair.
Oh, yeah.
While we're shooting.
Your underwear.
Oh, yeah. I've fallen asleep on camera before, but that's just from being tired. But I will nap there for 5, 10. I can nap anywhere. I can nap right here.
You're one of those.
Oh, you're so lucky.
So lucky.
No, I'm not because, well, I'm not a good sleeper at night, but nothing to do with naps. When I wake up at night, the switch goes on.
The brain goes on,
And I'm screwed. And I had that last night.
Oh shoot.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have that switch, so everything's all good for me.
I mean, I don't understand. The working of Jeff Garland's brain is always confusing to me because you're taping Goldbergs, taped Curb Your Enthusiasm, and then you somehow got an hour special through all that?
Yes. I've been working on the hour special for 3 years. Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Goldbergs twice now in 3 years. I have filmed them at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
And then at night I go out and do the sets.
Yeah, and Largo shows and stuff.
Yeah, yes. And so, yeah, it's been, but I'm not doing, my next stand-up gig is December 23rd at Largo.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Last Show Before We Go. I do it every year, you know, last show before the end of the year.
Right.
And it's for the Littlest Tumor Foundation. I'm glad I'm plugging it. It didn't occur to me. But no, it's very, you know, it's a charity thing. Anyhow, point being is I'm taking a break. I'm filming the Goldbergs and I'm doing press for the special, mm-hmm. Our Man in Chicago, now streaming on Netflix.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyhow, that's what I tried to say
2 minutes ago. I know you did. I'm all good. You're a pro. Anyhow, I'm taking a break.
Okay.
Good.
By the way. And after Thanksgiving, I'm completely just like chilling.
Good.
I will say this. At the end of the special, Jeff turns. He wants to talk to the audience there and then to the camera and says, you could be napping. Like, he's serious about napping. And I really appreciate that you people came out to see me and you're at home, you're watching. That was very genuine.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, every time I perform stand-up, at the end, I'm blown away that there are people in the audience. Only because they left their homes.
Right, which you hate doing.
The premise of leaving your home, mm-hmm. Oh my, that's amazing. I'm going to go somewhere and do something? That's amazing.
When did you start hating going out of your house and doing something?
Well, okay. Always.
Okay.
especially even as a kid, I loved watching TV. And, mm-hmm. I have a house now that I love.
Okay.
And so it's like a respite from
absolutely.
The rest of the world.
Absolutely. That's one of the coups of being successful in life is to create a house that you don't want to leave, like a safe zone.
That's what I have.
Get it,
no,
man.
Which is great, except for me personally, I would be able to stay home for a while, but then it's like, okay, I need to go do something.
I never feel that way.
I don't feel that
way. But feel that way.
Yeah.
Look where I am. Every day, all day, I work and I do things, and like lots of people. But point being is, if I don't have to leave my house, don't want to.
Okay.
I don't
blame you for that.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the special, you said usually you just ad-lib the entire show.
Yes.
But you had a beginning, middle, and end.
Yes, but
I couldn't recognize. Go ahead.
There was a lot of that it wasn't improvised. Yeah, well,
it looked very improvised.
Well, by the way, that's a great compliment. There was some material that I make look fresh. However, the majority of it was improvised.
Okay,
and you know,
Jeff did 5 minutes on a guy without socks, by the way.
That was just
I mean, even at foolishness. We're like, so you excited? I don't know what I'm going to say. Like before he went on stage at April Foolishness, we were like, wait, you don't have a set?
No.
Never.
Never.
That's amazing.
But I did for the special because I think it's arrogant to say, oh, yeah, it'll be great.
So all your other shows are arrogant.
Yeah, well, if you will.
Netflix, good.
No, but they're, you know, it's a lot of money and a lot of pressure that I'm not feeling. However, because I'm more relaxed when I go on stage, even if there are cameras, I don't care.
Really?
You're
the most relaxed on stage?
Oh, in my life, most certainly.
Most people, just the opposite. If you're in front of a crowd and you have a microphone,
two things I do that are relaxing.
Yeah.
Napping, stand-up comedy.
And sometimes you put them together. On the Goldbergs, they work together.
They work together. But I filmed 2 shows in Chicago.
Okay.
First show, I pretty much stuck to the material.
Okay. So hold on. Now, was the material that first gig that you did in the disco?
Yes.
All right.
And so I felt great about it. So second show, I went up and just like went berserk. And that's the show that's on Netflix.
Oh.
The second one.
The second one.
The arrogant one where he thought it was already in the can.
That's like Jeff Garland berserk.
Oh, I like arrogant Jeff Garland. This is my favorite character.
Actually, I talk in the show about being humble.
Yes.
Being humble but confident. Confidence.
You start the episode by saying, I'm very successful. Yeah. Those are your first words.
Well, I am.
But who says that?
But the point of the setup is that you'd think it would be enough, my success, yet every day someone comes up to me and asks me, what's Larry David really like? Every day. Mm-hmm. And then I tell this story. And this is everything I talk about is true. I said to Larry this last year filming it one day, I just go, hey, does anyone ever ask you what I'm really like? And he said to me, no one's ever said that. And I got to be honest.
Yes.
If I wasn't on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'd be a fan of the show. I love Larry David.
Sure.
Same.
And so I completely understand people's curiosity about him. And so when they come up, I'm not like, oh, no. You know, I'm like, oh, sure, I'll tell you. He is a great guy.
Yeah.
There's only one aspect of my fame that's annoying.
Okay.
And truly annoying. People coming up to me with Curb Your Enthusiasm ideas.
Oh,
and I say
no.
to them, I want to tell you ahead of time, no one has ever told me a great idea, ever. And I'm, by the way, I am not exaggerating. Hundreds upon hundreds, maybe even into the thousands at this point.
Oh, you know what you should do on Curb? Here's my idea, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And it's never happened
to me.
Okay.
It's always this happened to me.
Sure.
And I say, I'm just telling you, none of them have ever been funny. Please don't tell me. It's not going to work.
Now, how's that work out for you?
And every time they tell me, and it's not funny. It's just like Larry David writes these. But here's the point that they don't understand.
Okay.
I'm an executive producer on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I am a creative producer on Curb Your Enthusiasm. In the history of our show, I've never come to Larry David with an idea.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, and I got lots of them. It's not my business. It's his idea. Those are his ideas.
It's all him.
Know your place.
It's all
yeah.
him. If you love Curb, Larry David. Mm-hmm. If you hate Curb, Larry David.
Okay, good. I like that.
My job on Curb Your Enthusiasm is to help get Larry David's vision on screen. That's my job as an actor and as a producer.
It's done very well. I wish you did more than one season every 5 years, but look, however it works,
January 19th.
Fantastic.
Coming
great.
Out.
All right, Jeff Garland is here. We need to take a quick break on Netflix. You could watch Jeff Garland, Our Man in Chicago. It is on now, and we'll take a break and come right back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Wait a second.
Kevin and Bean Show.
Hash Pipe was playing, and I was having a conversation with you.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Well, listen, we play it six times a day, so you can tune in at any point.
By the way, I also have Spotify. So it's okay,
Jeff,
I'm good.
Do not tell them about Spotify, Jeff. We're on the radio. We don't even explain what Spotify is.
But by the way, people will listen to you because you're a great show and you bring them joy.
Thank you,
Jeff.
It's
not just about the music. But no, that's the point. Mm-hmm. That's you can say the goal. That's even, it's stronger
very
than
aggressive.
That.
That's very aggressive,
Jeff. It's the point of them listening. If it's not joyful and it's not like this feels like home, which this show does, which is why I come on this show, then why?
You know?
Because it used to be, I did a joke, if it wasn't for DJs, all you'd have is music. And the point was, let's just have the music.
Yeah.
But
which there's a thousand different ways to get now.
Yeah, but look, I've been doing stand-up comedy for 37 years. I have worked the road, especially like as a really on the road, for so many of those, okay? I would have to say, and I'm not exaggerating, 98% of the radio shows that I did were terrible. Not bad. Like horrible.
You mean like a morning zoo, like Turner and the Gooch or whatever?
Yeah, but I mean all of that.
How and why?
Because these are untalented people in the first place. I'm saying the 98%.
Right.
They don't listen. There are no listening skills whatsoever. And they talk at the audience. It's not like the audience is listening to a conversation. There's a reason you've been on all these years. There's a reason Howard Stern, people dig Howard Stern.
Yeah.
The point is, it's like, is it joyful? And does it feel like I want to be there? So it's not, I mean, I guarantee every one of your listeners has Spotify, Apple Music,
sure,
all that stuff. It doesn't matter. And I know that, you know, that maybe your ratings have gone down.
Okay,
no,
Jeff.
No, no,
yes.
Hold on. I'm not talking about your specific.
By the way,
radio in general
is what I'm talking
also
about.
Also ours. Both are accurate.
Well, yeah, because you're with radio. But the point being is that those who left were not like real people. You know, fans. We're not the real people.
But the, like, dozen that stayed, man,
yes,
they love us.
We have a very strong dozen.
Well, no, you say the dozen. But the truth is, well, hey, my Instagram, I don't even know how many I have now, 140,000, 150,000. But usually people in my position have way more. But I built it up slowly. I've not even paid attention to, I mean, I know how many I have because I just checked once in a blue moon recently.
Right.
So I kind of know what. I don't even really know exactly. But the point is, building up slow and having, you know, your real fans is amazing. Well, you look at anybody who had any star who had who does great music and then has a random big hit.
Mm-hmm.
The extra people that come to their shows, great. It's great to collect the money. But after that, it's like, I wasn't sad to see him go. I know, I'm not going to say a comedian's name, but there's a comedian that I know who at the height of his thing, he couldn't believe how stupid most of his audience was.
Wow.
And then as time has gone on, he still plays very large theaters, but there's mostly his fans.
What's his name?
I'm not talking.
I don't know. I think Zach Galifianakis is still very good.
Ah, Zach is the best.
But Zach has talked about that a million times with Hangover. Like, his audience went from being sort of like the smartest people in the room to being like, where's the baby?
By the way,
recap the conversation I had with Zach in a second. Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, I wasn't talking about Zach, but that's a great example of it, though, because that movie. You know, look, I know when I go somewhere, comedy fans are excited. Other people, who are you? What? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're from the Goldbergs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Comedy fans watch Curb.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, agreed.
We
had Zach Galifianakis in to talk about Baskets, which was one of my favorite shows on FX. And Kevin decided to tell him that his all-time favorite movie is...
I mean, we just talked about it.
The Hangover is his favorite movie.
He said The Hangover, and I'm not kidding you.
Without a beat.
Spit take. A literal spit take. And then he started yelling at Kevin. He's like, does Bridge Over the River Kwai not exist? What is wrong with you?
Once I want like a scientist to think that. It's literally like insulting my intelligence because I love that movie, which was awesome.
By the way, it was a really fun movie. That was a really good comedy.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, was the second one? No.
Isn't there a third one?
Yeah, third one too.
Yeah.
And he collected a big check, I'm sure. But the point being is, you say you were exaggerating when you said your favorite.
I wasn't.
That's your favorite all-time movie?
What is wrong with you?
Right. Having said that, though, I change constantly, but that's in the top five all the time.
It's better than Apocalypse Now, Jeff.
So you love, but you love comedies,
yes,
clearly. Okay.
Yeah. So Ghostbusters was my original favorite.
By the way, love Ghostbusters.
The best ever,
Ghostbusters 2? Nah.
Oh, don't look at me. I think Ghostbusters 2 is as good as one.
Ridiculous, right?
Wrong.
Ridiculous.
Both so great. Wrong. So wrong.
Your favorite movie of all time?
Is... what was the Olsen Twins movie, New York Minute? I think that's it.
Are you in New York Minute?
No. Okay. Oh, my God. You're just reminding me now. I was offered.
New York Minute?
Yes. Andy Richter took it. I'm insulting him by saying that.
Terrible.
But that just occurs to me that I was offered that, and I was like, no. Anyhow.
What's your real favorite?
Well, it would have to be probably... between It's a Wonderful Life and Sullivan's Travels.
Both great.
Yeah, well,
both
thank
great.
You.
Both
yeah,
great
yeah.
picks.
Those are...
Neither are the Hangover.
And also,
yeah, not the Hangover.
I love The Wild Bunch.
Oh, these are great.
Yeah, I Lawrence of Arabia. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Zach Galifianakis making fun of me at that moment made me love him so much
more. By the way,
made me
because,
love him.
Well, the truth is that he is a humble... really cool dude. He's on my very short list of absolute favorite comedians.
Yeah, he's the best.
Agreed. Agreed.
Modern day, I'd say he and John Mulaney are my favorites.
Oh, you even mentioned that in the show.
Yeah,
John
I do.
Mulaney.
I know at the end, yeah. But Zach brings me so much joy.
All right, we're sort of running out of time, and I apologize for that, but we've had Michelle on hold most of this interview, and she wants to talk to you.
Oh, hi, Michelle.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you? Oh, she almost sounds like she's in the studio. Yes, Michelle, you have a nice way of talking. Go.
I wanted to call and thank you specially for donating some of your proceeds to the Littlest Tumor Foundation.
Oh! Are you the woman who runs it?
No, I'm not. Okay. But I do have a daughter with neurofibromatosis.
You do?
So it's really important to me.
Oh! Well, it's my honor to do that. And I do it every year for the Littlest Tumor Foundation.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And hang tough and enjoy your daughter.
I do. Can I ask why you chose that? Your charity?
I don't want to give away anyone's privacy, but someone near
That's
and dear to me, someone near and dear to me, their son has it. So I do that every year.
Well, let's give another plug for your show at the Largo then. Let's get them more money.
December 23rd at Largo. It's my only, the last appearance of the year. And I love the show. And by the way, there is a good chance Zach Galifianakis will be in the show. But I'm not guaranteeing it.
Okay.
If he's in town, I know he'll be there. He's been there before for it.
All right.
Tenacious D has done it.
All right.
Sarah Silverman has done it. All my friends in comedy and friends of Largo. So there'll be other people besides me, substantial, wonderful comedians.
Jeff and friends.
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah.
Thank you for the call, Michelle. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Jeff.
Sure.
All right.
Well, that was kind.
That was kind.
Right.
Wow.
She held on since the beginning of the first.
And what it is these kids who get tumors inside their body, grow all over. And it's a horrible thing. And my friend's son and this kid, I love this kid. And just knowing that they go through this.
Well, very nice of you to raise money for
that. Yeah, and not everybody does that. So that's really cool.
By the way, are you doing the comedy thing?
April Foolishness.
Okay.
You want to do it again?
Why? Well, of course.
All right.
Sweet.
Good. Book him.
I remember that he walked out on stage and he said, "Turn off the clock."
Oh, absolutely.
Remember that there was a clock for each one? Yeah. You're like, "Turn it off.
Book
I'm not even going to be paying attention."
But I wasn't doing that to disregard my fellow performers.
No.
It's just I didn't want that.
You don't want it in your head.
Didn't want it. Get it off. I'll be done.
All right.
I'm not going to take. No, no. In other words,
I'll
not,
end at some point.
I won't be doing.
I'll die at some point.
I'm not doing a long set. It was just let me just do my thing and I'll get out of here.
We would be thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Thrilled to have you.
Love
it. An honor. Truly.
The Netflix special is Jeff Garlin, Our Man in Chicago, and The Goldbergs air Wednesdays at 8 on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Curb Your Enthusiasm back January 19th.
January 19th.
Amen. Oh, one more plug.
Yes.
I promise. And I'm a photographer, and I will be officially January 16th at the Leica Gallery in Beverly Hills, my first ever show.
Wow.
And once I sell one of the pictures, and by the way, part of the proceeds to that go to a charity called F Cancer.
Okay, sure.
Which I'm on the board, and I love I love working with them. Anyhow, so once I sell one of those.
Then you're a professional.
Then I'm a photographer.
I like that you shoot low. Just one. You just need to sell one.
Yeah, but by the way, that's the point. Hey, someone says, I'm an artist. Have you ever sold a painting? Yeah, one. Good, you're
that's
real.
That's a pro.
You're an artist.
Jeff.
I'm a stand-up. Have you done a show? Yeah. Okay, there you go.
I have to wrap this up. I'm sorry.
I know. Go ahead. I apologize. I know. Don't
Jeff,
worry.
We
An
love
honor
you.
To be here.
We
Thank
love
you.
You and come anytime.
Thank you.
See you at Foolishness.
And see you at Foolishness. That's the comedy show.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all in.
All right.
All right.
It's Kevin and Bean. K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
We have a rare Wednesday visit with Dr. Drew. Good morning, Dr. Drew.
A rare sighting. Welcome.
A rare sighting.
Welcome. Yes.
I think you were traveling tomorrow or something, so we wanted to talk to you today, and especially about this news about Joe Biden. And weed. Would you explain that to us, please?
So Joe Biden has gone out there on social media. At least his quote was pushed out on social media. And Joe Rogan responded to it. His quote was essentially that he couldn't get behind any legislation to legalize cannabis because it, quote, could be a gateway drug. And you guys found that interesting.
Well, I mean,
it's clearly a common thing that has been said for many years from Nancy Reagan on, kind of thing, right?
But is it?
So, well, for the average person, it is not, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, if you want to speak of the drug that is the gateway, historically, that has been tobacco.
Right.
Now, tobacco use is way down. And to the extent that you've got to really sort of define your terms here. What do you imagine somebody means by gateway? What does that mean?
It means he goes on to something harder.
Yeah, the floodgates open.
Right?
But yeah, it means that it necessarily leads to other things. And that categorically is false, right? It's also false that if you smoke a lot of pot, you're going to get addicted. But it's also false to say that pot is non-addictive because a certain subset of genetically prone individuals, do get addicted. And it's those people that have a very specific syndrome. Mm-hmm. And here's how it works. And they're all the same. Every case is always the same. It takes about 3 to 5 exposures to cannabis to actually get a real high from it. So there's some sort of priming effect on the brain.
Okay.
And some people, once they get that high, it's so intense. And I got to tell you, personally, when I first heard the patients talk about this, I was like, well, that's not me, because I did not ever experience anything like that. But for some people,
maybe you need to test more.
That's what all my college, the people in my neighborhood around in my college dorm thought I needed to do. It's also false. But for some people, it's clearly a genetic thing, and they get this extreme high, and from that day forward, that's all they can think about is that drug.
I have a question, Drew. Would that work with like the inhaler that's kind of addictive? Would it work with anything that's addictive to those people, or is it specifically weed?
No, it's a very strange and weird syndrome because most drugs, you ramp up to addiction, right? Mm-hmm. Ramp it up. Cannabis is more like boom; it's more digital. And if that happens to you, you would be perfectly happy smoking a pot the rest of your life, right?
Yep.
No problem. And some people do that, and they function quite fine.
But let me ask you a question. Don't most people that smoke weed do that? Like, what are the percentages, if you had to guess?
That go on to, like, heroin or something?
No, they smoke it for the rest of their life, and they're fine, and it's all good.
Mm-hmm. That number is a really interesting question. And what I will tell you what tends to happen, and it's probably a smaller number. Though the really quite good question would be, how many people smoke for 20 years on a regular basis with no discernible adverse effect?
Sure.
That number's not out there, but that'd be really interesting. But what tends to happen is somewhere between 1 and 20 years, you can't get high from it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The euphoric effects wear off. And so what people do then is they start smoking a lot more pot to try to get the high back, get that feeling back. And at that point, they slide into some negative psychiatric symptoms. They start getting panic, paranoid, irritability, depression. And that's when they start looking around. If you're somebody who's been using a substance to solve your mood problems, well, it's natural for you to look around for a solution to that with another substance.
Sure.
And that's when people find other things. So it's not technically a gateway. It's if you've got people right there and said, all right, stop, you'll be fine, just stop smoking, let's treat your depression, whatever, no problem. But if people are sort of left their own devices, they tend to go to other stuff.
Sure. I guess the Nancy Reagan Say No to Drugs DARE program scare tactic is like, I like the feeling I get from weed, so why can't I try black tar heroin, which doesn't necessarily happen. But I guess that it does chip away at your morals towards drugs. I guess you could say that, right? Like,
No.
I don't think so either.
Ooh.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm wondering. That's what I'm asking.
No. It doesn't. It's all about mood regulation, all about affect regulation.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's going towards substances at age 11 or 12, they have a problem with affect regulation.
Sure.
If somebody has this digital event with cannabis, we're like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever happened to me, and off they go, and then they get into syndrome where they start having adverse effects, and they don't really realize it. It's not about morality about drugs. It's just, hey, I got to feel better. Oh, alcohol makes me feel better. I'll drink more alcohol. And that's when they get into trouble.
Drew, I don't know about you, but what I got from this whole segment, Jensen's a narc.
Clearly, right? I'm ready to talk.
Would you agree with that, Dr. Drew?
No, I think, just for the record,
no,
I think.
No, let the doctor talk.
All right,
is
go ahead.
Jensen
am I a narc?
Narc?
Am I a narc?
Well, but the bottom line is it's not a gateway drug.
Is he a narc?
Who?
Jensen. Am I a narc?
No, Jensen's not a narc. Biden's a narc.
Biden is a narc.
Biden's
a cop. Yeah. Here's the other thing, too, is I do think we should legalize marijuana in any way, shape. I've always been for it.
Okay.
I'm always trying to get in the head of the people who think weed isn't, like, the most normal. I mean, I've always thought if you're going to outlaw anything, seems like alcohol causes a lot more problems than weed.
Sure.
So I always like
100%.
To get and I always like to get in the mind of the people who seem to think weed is so bad. It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm trying to say, like, I was almost just trying to get into the foot, you know, the sneakers of an actual...
They are wearing New Balance.
Say, yes.
I would say people that are persuaded that something, that any substance is evil. Substances aren't evil. There's no such thing as an evil molecule. These are just these molecules that humans relate to and have certain beneficial effects and certain adverse effects. Mm-hmm. That's true of everything. But your point about alcohol is 100% true. If you want to point at something that has massive adverse effect, and the reality is, it's just the cultural context.
Right.
You made alcohol okay throughout human history, therefore it's okay.
And I think about, Drew, I think about it a lot. On one of your celebrity rehab shows, you had on like a child star. I forget who it was. Maybe it was like a Keisha Knight Pullum or something. But she came on celebrity drug rehab for marijuana, and people made fun of her. And I thought that was weird.
Yeah. No, she had a real problem with it. And she lost a lot of work. She's having all kinds of consequences. The real question is, you know, how aggressively somebody who's having trouble stopping pot needs to be treated.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, of course, a lot easier than a lot of other things. But for some people, it's really tough.
But
and
I mean,
those
that's,
people should get help.
I mean, that's true of, like, peanut allergies as well. It depends on, like, how many people have that big of an issue with it.
Well, that's right, Kevin. That's why when you make these when people make big sweeping generalities about really what are medical syndromes, they kind of got to shut up, you know. And then what we do with our laws should be up to the states. I mean, this is the thing I took issue with Biden's comment. It's like, yeah, leave it to the states. That's fine. That's we were supposed to form a more perfect union here of the states. Let them decide. Fine, good. And each state will deal with what they deal with.
All right. Well, smoke weed, everybody.
That's what
we learned.
But so far, California has okayed it, but the national law is that it's outlawed. So who knows what's going to happen? And it sounds like Biden wants to make that even more hardcore.
It does. My suggestion would be he leave it to the states.
All right.
And let that because that was federal paternalism. Is that in the Constitution somewhere? Tell us how to live our lives and what to believe, what to say, what language to use. I'm not sure that's in the Constitution.
I haven't read it, but I don't think so.
Yeah, don't ask Kevin to read, please.
I know better. For you,
Dr. Drew, we appreciate you coming on the show. The Twitter is at Dr. Drew. The website is drdrew.com. There's Dr. Drew Midday Live, Monday to Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And there's the app, the Heal app, where you can see a doctor in the comfort of your own home. Dr. Drew, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
It's Kevin and Bean!
K-U-Rock, KROQ.
And now, a moment with Allie.
We believe in the magnanimity. What's that?
Nope.
Yeah. Magnanimity.
Sorry, what's the word?
I know the word.
Oh, no. Well, how long we got? We're on till 9:30?
Magnanimity?
I mean, you're getting closer.
Magnanimity?
Oh, man. Oh, no.
I think I've ever said this word. Ever.
This has never happened.
You know what you should do is pre-read these stories.
That was a moment with Allie.
I mean, really, like a moment and a half.
Guys, I have literally never said that word in my life.
None of us have. It's a ridiculous
word. I have said
magnanimity.
It.
Oh, shut up.
I have. It's magnanimous.
No, I've said it. Anyway. Yes, everybody knows
magnanimous. I could say, but magnanimity, no.
Do we need to make another moment with, or are you good with that last one?
I'd stay away from the word, Allie.
Yeah.
I think so.
Too.
Never going to say that word again.
Time for one last look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Oh, guys. Amelia Clark. Of course, you know her from, well, everything, but mostly Game of Thrones. She was Daenerys, right? On Game of Thrones. She revealed that she was pressured to do nude scenes to appease fans on that show. She said that I had fights on set where I was like, no, the sheet stays up. And they're like, you don't want to disappoint your Game of Thrones fans. Ew. She said, I was a recent drama school graduate at the time, and she had convinced herself that bearing all on camera was completely fine, but she still struggled with it. She said, I'd been on a film set twice before then, and I'm now on a film set completely naked with all these people, and I don't know what I'm meant to do, and I don't know what's expected of me. So she set some ground rules after that, which kind of explains for a lot of the lack of Khaleesi nudity in the show's later seasons. So good for you, Amelia. Standing up for yourself. Jensen, what do you know about the Wu-Tang Clan getting their own theme park?
Whoa, I know nothing about it, but I would like to see it.
I would like to see it. It'll be a lot closer to the home of Shaolin than Staten Island. Mm-hmm. Get it? According to the vice president of Wu-Tang Clan management, Jimmy Kang.
Okay.
Is any of this real?
Well, listen, as a diehard Wu-Tang historian, a lot of the times when you hear people working under the name Wu-Tang, there's like 100 people who do it.
Okay.
If it's not from RZA or anyone really affiliated with the group, it's probably
not. We were
not
in Las Vegas and we were broadcasting live, and a woman ran down the aisle and said, I'm Wu-Tang! Right. I'm Wu-Tang! And we're like, what are you talking about?
Right. And she could be like a manager, like, you know, A&R.
I don't think she was any of that.
Yeah.
I think she was crazy.
Well, this Jimmy Kang fellow said that the planned theme park centered around Wu-Tang Clan will be in Seoul, South Korea. And he says he is currently negotiating a deal to put up a Wu-Tang theme park there.
Well, I would go.
Would you love
to see it.
What exactly would a Wu-Tang themed theme park entail?
I would have a roller coaster that's very bouncy, like, and it doesn't really control you, and I'd call it Protect Your Neck.
Oh my God,
that's a good one.
I like it so far.
Okay,
I'd have a food place. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to funnel with, and it's just all funnel cakes.
This is the greatest. Okay, what else?
So far, so good.
Okay. I'm trying to think of more. Okay. I would do... I would have... See, I'm trying to think of a good Method Man one. Anyone else?
Method Man.
Oh, I could do... I could just... Okay, I got it.
All right.
A people mover, right? And it takes you to like a large... sort of, I'm trying not to ruin the joke, takes you to a large plateau, and you see the whole park from there, and that's where it's a inspector deck. It's the inspector deck. It's where you stand and you look at the whole park. Guys, you want more than two?
It's a work in progress. I gave you two. Yeah. It's a work in progress.
Two off the top of my head, and you're asking for more. How dare you? Two were good.
I like the Protect Your Neck a lot.
Thank you.
You could also just have little coffee shops all over, and they'd just be called Cream.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. What about, shows every single night, like dance shows, and it would be called the Shimmy Shimmy Ya. That was ODB.
Nope.
ODB.
I do like a roller coaster, Old Dirty Faster.
Oh, see? You're back.
Because you gotta give me a minute. Improv isn't just five in a row. I gotta let someone else sit for a second. Man.
I love it.
All right, well, now I'm in.
Yeah,
and
well, now we got
I hope Jimmy Kang takes your calls all of these great ideas.
The famous Jimmy Kang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you guys. This is wonderful news. Chris Evans told Entertainment Tonight at the press for his new film, Knives Out, that having kids is on his mind, you guys. The 38-year-old actor said of his dog, Dodger, "Dogs are just so good and so pure. A weird little door unlocks inside of you. This new level of empathy. In a weird way, that type of empathy permeates so many aspects of your life. You know, I think it actually unlocks a little bit, as I imagine having children will. I really want kids, too."
I didn't like that the first three quarters of that story was about a dog.
Yeah, then at the end, he's like, kids are fine.
Yeah, kids are, like, less hairy dogs. Do you think... The woman at Entertainment Tonight said, "Sir, this is an Arby's."
Yeah.
Where are you going with this?
We didn't ask you to read your diary.
Yeesh. Knives Out, though. That looks great.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson murder mystery?
Sure.
Very fun.
I will watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, in theaters on November 27th. I am super into that. Big movies coming out this weekend, right?
Is there?
Isn't it Mr. Rogers and Frozen 2?
Whoa.
I could be wrong. Anyone else?
Yes.
Do you know for sure?
Muggs is kind of, he's the movie.
She's right. Muggs just says yes like it's a.
No, he's the movie release guy.
He's right.
Okay,
she's right.
She's right. Okay. That's Allie right there.
Hi, Allie.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, Muggs?
You new here?
Nah, I started like 4 years. Oh. So those two movies are coming out this weekend.
Take my kid to Frozen 2.
Yeah, I would think so. Absolutely. And I'm going to see, obviously. Got to see Mr. Rogers.
Also, sure. 21 Bridges comes out Friday.
Not 21 Bridges.
That looks great.
With Chadwick. It's allowed.
That one looks great.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just know Todd. So.
That's a really sad movie. Todd Bridges.
All right.
Mike's just going to watch Point Break at home.
Dark Waters also comes out, which is that Mark Ruffalo movie in limited release. That looks good, too.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That'll be really fun. Did you know, as a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch Mr. Rogers?
How come?
Because my father felt that there was something super creepy about him. He couldn't, like, put his finger on it.
But
he was...
get all soapy.
That
you know, soap suds all over me.
Yeah.
And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Yeah, hose.
So you were playing.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Oh, I can't imagine why your dad was against it.
I'm just thinking my dad wasn't super into it. Hmm. But again, this is the same father that, like, I'd walk in and he would just be killing himself laughing at Benny Hill. Like, come on, sit down. This is good. As a little kid, I was like, Benny Hill. Every kid watches that, right?
No, no, no. He was chasing around women.
Absolutely.
Touching their bloomers.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was my childhood.
How about some make-believe about hoes?
See? Maybe my dad knew.
He did. He knew the whole time.
I mean, he's the most beloved children's
No, host Mr. Rogers ever. Does go against all logic towards that kind of person. You would think that's a guy perving to bring kids into his house and stuff, but he was the most angelic man.
Absolutely.
Except for he was sleeved and he was an assassin. That's
neither
what
of those.
None
what?
Of those. That's
I've heard
true.
Both are true.
None
heard
are true.
Both.
No.
Neither
agree
are in the
to
film.
Disagree.
Neither
incorrect.
Are in the film.
Incorrect, sir.
No.
Guys, this bagel clerk went above the call of duty. A New York State bagel guy. Being hailed as a hero after taking a 7-hour round-trip drive to return a set of keys to a customer. So this woman goes in, leaves her keys there, then realizes when she gets home 180 miles away that she left the keys at this bagel shop. The key ring also included the fob needed to start the family vehicle. She called the place and said, oh, no, what can I do? And he said, oh, I'll overnight them to you. But the next day was Sunday, so she wouldn't get it. And she said, oh, no, I have to work Monday. I need my keys.
What should I do?
He drove the keys to her.
Hmm.
Nope.
For a real delivery.
I mean, maybe. It's not in the story.
How
but
far?
180 miles there. And 180 miles back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this is likely.
Yeah.
Likely.
So she's like, I'll overnight you.
Why thanks, funny little grandpa.
Just saying. That bagel guy might be the greatest. And this just in. If you live 180 miles away from this bagel place, it's not your bagel shop.
No.
This isn't a place that you go all the time. This bagel dude is the best.
It's good because he cleaned the bagel dude term.
Oh, that's right. We can now get rid of that guy.
You can get rid of the bagel guy.
Okay. Come on, come on, come on, yeah. Come on, darling. Stop beating around the
bush. Oh, gonna get it on. Just saying.
Yeah.
180 miles.
I mean, you don't go there for fun.
Here are your keys. I'm going to go another 180 miles the other way.
Does this key fit?
Not happening.
Ew. I think he's just a kind man, is what happened. Some birthdays for you. Ming-Na Wen, Joel McHale, Joe Biden, Joe Walsh, Darren Followill, and Davey Havoc, you guys. Happy birthday, Davey Havoc.
Is this the first What's Happening you mentioned that?
Well, because I didn't know it was his birthday until Christine saw it on Instagram.
I see.
He's a good dude.
So I wrote it down, and now I'm saying happy birthday to him. Did you know it was his birthday? And
yes.
You didn't mention it for 4 hours?
Yeah, because I didn't want you to say it, and that way you would look bad.
Jeez.
It's another moment with her there.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. To drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, a huge show. We have Get Up On This with Jensen. Mm-hmm. We have Bo Bachman coming in to talk about the L.A. Auto Show, and he will also take your phone calls. We have R.J. Bell with his picks for week 12 of the NFL, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas as well.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.